add up the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves, my granny used to say.
Whoops, I guess granny didn't hear. No pennies anymore. Stephen Harper cut those too. But we'll take nickels. We'll take dimes. We'll take loonies and toonies and $5 bills and $50 bills and even $100 bills.
You can donate at rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Welcome to Election Soundup number 4 for the week of September 21st. I'm Victoria Fenner. We're going to be changing things up a bit for the rest of our election soundups. For a long time, I've wanted our parliamentary correspondent, Carl Nirenberg, to do a podcast. And we're finally getting started on that process. And so I thought a weekly conversation with Carl, with his perspective on what's happening with the election, is a great way to get started. So you're going to be hearing more of Carl on Election Soundup. Love your writing, Carl. It's a great additional dimension to hear your words in your own voice. My conversation with Carl this week covered a lot of bases. We started by talking about one of his recent articles. Are Liberals and New Democrats overdoing the attacks on each other?
Well, the fact of the matter is that in the two televised debates, the most vigorous conflict seemed to be between Mulcair and Trudeau. And I'd have to say that the Liberals have taken the strategy a little bit to heart, as it were, a little bit more than the New Democrats, that it is to their advantage to attack the New Democrats.
It's too early to see whether or not that strategy will work or what effect it's going to have on the election on October 19th, though, right?
Well, what I'm picking up very anecdotally and a little bit from opinion polling is that it does work for the Liberals, that the Liberals are trying to show themselves to be feisty, to have fire in their belly, and to raise all kinds of doubts about the NDP from all different points of view. I'm not saying the NDP doesn't do the same thing, because the NDP has done it. They went after Chrystia Freeland, who's a member of parliament in Toronto now and a star candidate, for having said when she was a journalist a number of years ago that the governments of Canada and the United States shouldn't bail out the auto industry. They should let car companies go bankrupt. And I mean, in a way, it's fair ball. She did say that once. She didn't say that as a Liberal member of parliament. It's not the Liberal Party policy. So there is a habit to go after candidates or people in a party for things they said a while ago. And the Liberals do that with Mulcair, where they found an old piece of tape of Mulcair once saying nice things about Margaret Thatcher when he was at that time a Quebec Liberal member of the National Assembly. It's this kind of sniping that really has nothing to do with what the parties plan to do once they become government. That must make Mr. Harper quite happy, since one would think that the Conservatives have a pretty, pretty heavy record in government that one would want to focus on, and one would want to make sure voters don't forget it. But in the most egregious moment of this whole exercise happened in August in the leaders' debate, when Justin Trudeau was asked directly a question about Prime Minister Harper's agenda on so-called democracy and democratic reform. And that's something that Justin Trudeau claimed he was very interested in. And instead of answering that question or dealing with the Conservative government, he turned tables and decided to attack Thomas Mulcair on the NDP's policy on what to do in the event of a Quebec referendum. Wasn't that anything to do with the question? It wasn't on the agenda. And it certainly didn't give the viewers a chance to hear a full debate on such issues as the Conservatives' use of omnibus legislation, the Fair Elections Act, Bill C-51, or any of the other major Democratic issues that are part of the Conservative agenda. It was a complete distraction and waste of time.
And so meanwhile, what are the other flashpoints that are starting to emerge right now that you've noticed in the last few days, last week or so?
Well, another totally hot-button issue, and this doesn't engage the Liberals versus the NDP, because the Liberals and the NDP agree with each other on this, is the question of whether a woman who wears a niqab should be entitled to take a citizenship oath. And this plays, unfortunately, very badly in Quebec, and it's an awkward situation for Mr. Mulcair, especially since a great many Francophone voters like the NDP for many reasons, but a great many of those voters might part company with the NDP on the question of, does a person have the right to express their religion and culture in that way in a plural society by wearing a niqab? There are just a lot of Quebecers who feel that, from their point of view, that pushes the notion of cultural differentiation too far. And you have to remember that the idea of multiculturalism plays badly in Quebec. Quebecers talk more about plural culturalism and about diversity, but diversity that respects that there is a kind of shared common culture. You get some of that attitude in Europe, where the Germans even use the expression in German of a Leitkultur, saying, you come to Germany and we have a certain way of doing things that broadly respects diversity, but where there are limits, where you can't simply do any old thing. And as it were, from their point of view, and wearing a niqab is one of those things. In France, it's virtually illegal to wear a niqab, period. You can't wear it anywhere. In Canada, we're not talking about that. But so there's a bit of a European attitude in Quebec that's different from the more traditional Canadian attitude that in a way goes back to the Pierre Elliott Trudeau days of a diverse and multicultural society. So this is definitely going to be awkward, and Gilles Duceppe and Stephen Harper will be standing shoulder to shoulder in the French debate saying, well, you know, the NDP and the Liberals just want to allow people who cover their faces to take citizenship oaths or to go and vote. And the Bloc Québécois has already come up with a television commercial where they try to attack the NDP on two different fronts, that the NDP would allow the Energy East pipeline. I mean, Thomas Mulcair has not said he would, but he's kind of on the fence. He says that we would have to have a much more robust environmental process, but the Energy East pipeline is quite unpopular in Quebec. At the same time, they have a graphic in which a pipeline, black oil, turns into a woman wearing a niqab. So they say he would allow the Energy East pipeline and he would allow people to wear niqabs. They don't say exactly where he'd allow them to wear niqabs, but some people in Quebec probably are of the view that it should be illegal, period, that if you want to walk down the street, you have to have your face uncovered. So it is a very, very awkward moment because despite having a principled position on this, the NDP would rather that it were not too prominent because they want the votes of some of those people out there who might generally agree with the NDP, consider themselves to be progressive, but on the issue of cultural identity would part company.
Okay, well, you gave me a list of things that you thought were significant for this week, and I don't think we'll have time to get to all of them, but let's see, you have flagged deficits, the referendum, the niqab, which we covered, the F-35, who is the anti-Harper, revenue streams, and LEAP manifesto. So let's choose two of those and tackle them today and then save something for next week. How's that? What next?
Let's look at this whole question of whether the government should run a deficit, because I did write about that. I mean, it came as a great shock to many people who in the past have voted for the NDP, especially in English Canada, who consider themselves progressive, that Thomas Mulcair said, come hell or high water, if his party were to form government, they would not run a deficit from the very beginning. They would never run deficits. This has never been an NDP policy traditionally, and it seems a little odd to a lot of economists watching this and to traditional NDP voters. And they gave the Liberals a chance to jump notionally to the left of the NDP and say, no, given the current economic sluggish conditions and given the fact that interest rates are low and that overall the ratio of our national debt or accumulated debt to our overall economy, our gross domestic product, is actually going down, so that it would be wise, in fact, and economically sound not to worry too much about whether we come in slightly in the black or slightly in the red, but to spend a little more to keep the economy going. And Thomas Mulcair sticks with this position. Andrew Thompson, who is the star candidate for the NDP in Toronto, former finance minister in Saskatchewan, said very candidly on CBC Radio's The House, well, the NDP wouldn't get away with it. I mean, the NDP, the Liberals could afford to and could have political cover to get away with saying they're going to run deficits. The attacks on the NDP would be much more vicious if we tried saying that, and we're aiming for government, and besides, we think it's a sound economic policy. But one thinks that the former political argument, in a way, is stronger, but it is always very worrisome to people if you make an argument based only on political tactics and strategy and perception, not on principle. And that is a really awkward issue. On the other hand, Thomas Mulcair will never say that it's simply a political argument. He'll say he sincerely believes that we don't need to run a deficit in order to do what the NDP has to do over a long-term plan, and that running a deficit currently would be a bad idea because we've been running deficits for 7 years and we have to start getting out of deficit. And Tommy Douglas never ran deficits, and he ran a social democratic regime in Saskatchewan. So there is, but this meshes with the idea of who is the anti-Harper, because Trudeau now is portraying himself as the candidate who is furthest to the left, who's got more fire in his belly. His performance in the debates, which some of us found rude and uneven, strike a lot of people as being full of vigor and energy, while Tom Mulcair looks a little bit low-key and unwilling to show a lot of fire and passion, does seem to be working with some people. I had one friend on Facebook saying, well, I liked Jack Layton, but I think Trudeau is the true inheritor of Jack Layton's mantle, not Tom Mulcair, and you're getting some of that, and that's a little bit awkward. Mind you, Trudeau kind of put his foot in it a couple of times. He did an interview with CTV in Atlantic Canada where he absolutely refused to talk about what kind of revenue he expects a Liberal government would be able to take in, even though the NDP has already outlined exactly where they stand fiscally. He says you just have to wait and see. And then in a discussion sort of that replaced the debate on women's issues, it appeared, there's a journalist named Desmond Cole pointed out, it appeared that he kept trying to blame violence against women on what he called vague cultural factors, certain kind of communities and certain kind of music. And Desmond Cole said, that sounds like code for talking about black people, but he never would say so. So that may be a little, he was kind of freelancing there and showing that Justin Trudeau doesn't always think before he opens his mouth. Anyway, it's a lot of swirling around back and forth, and it's difficult to know how all of this is going to play out. I think there's some of us here who had expected to hear a little more of that Jack Layton passion and that commitment to social justice and that concern for ordinary people from Tom Mulcair that we didn't, and we're a little concerned that he was overly cautious and relied way, way too much on talking points and kept reverting to canned talking points rather than actually showing himself to be candid and answering questions in a spontaneous way, the way somebody like Elizabeth May would do, and are hoping that he takes the chance when he gets next time to say, stop being so risk-averse. You're not going to win by trying to protect a lead in August for an election in October. You're going to have to actually try to score once in a while, not just sit in your own end and stop pucks from coming at you. You know, to show the NDP, I keep running on here, but to show the kind of problems the NDP faces, they get attacked both from the right and from the left, because at the same time as they were releasing their relatively moderate, almost small-c conservative fiscal framework, they called it, our friends with the Leap Manifesto came on the stage, and all kinds of commentators like Bruce Anderson and CBC would say, well, we should hang that around the NDP's neck. The news reports kept saying, these people like Judy Rebick and Naomi Klein and Stephen Lewis are NDP supporters, and look at these radical ideas that they're proposing.
Right, that was a very, very curious reaction. We live-streamed that on Rabble, and I was totally flabbergasted by the reports that came out and said, oh, Thomas Mulcair is really going to hate this.
Well, I mean, this is because it's all done in the political context. Everything becomes political. But it's true that many of the people involved in the Leap Manifesto would say, who are you going to vote for? They say, we're going to vote for the NDP, even though we think currently the NDP is proposing rather moderate and cautious, a rather moderate and cautious program. But it doesn't mean that the manifesto speaks for the NDP. People, they have a right to vote for the NDP, even though they don't entirely agree with the NDP. To some extent, we're talking about the history, DNA, character, personality of parties as much as the actual program. I mean, the Liberal Party, a person like me, sees as a party still very close to large corporations and very dominated by lobbyists, Ottawa lobbyists. The NDP has some of the lobbyist community, but much less. But the NDP is much closer historically to social movements and the union movements and grassroots people. So even though their programs don't look that that different. The party's personality and DNA, the two parties are very different in their personality and their DNA.
And that was Carl Nierenberg, Rabble.ca's parliamentary correspondent, in the first of hopefully many conversations about politics in our nation's capital. Carl's been reporting on federal politics from Parliament Hill for Rabble.ca since September 2011. He's got lots of articles on Rabble.ca in print form. We're really glad he's decided to explore doing an audio version of his work by doing a podcast. For the next few weeks, you can hear him here on Election Sound Up. Great that you're doing this, Carl. Great that you're doing this, Carl. Another change, we recorded this conversation you just heard on Tuesday. That was 4 days ago. A lot can change in 4 days, so the next edition you'll hear will be on Tuesday, and that will enable me to post the conversation with Carl right after I've done it. No wait, things right up to the minute. And you'll hear this every Tuesday until the election is over.
Turn the tide. Turn the tide. They try to tell us black is really white.
You've been listening to Election Sound Up, brought to you by Rabble.ca. Before we go, a reminder, we're putting a lot of extra resources into bringing you our own distinct type of coverage for Election 2015. One of the reasons why this is possible is because of support from people who know that we're bringing an important dimension to the debate through our coverage. Your financial support makes a huge difference. To contribute, go to www.rabble.ca/donate. Tune in next week for more news and views on Election Sound Up. I'm Victoria Fenner.